Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you this morning once again. Hope all of you had a good week. We had kind of a pretty week this week. It was a little cool, but had some sunshine. We were sure glad to see that. I was hoping to get a little more rain last Friday on my garden. I finally got it planted, but we hope you had a good week, and we're looking forward to another good week this week, and I just want to pray for you now, and I appreciate you listening to us this morning. What a great opportunity we have to come and to share the word over this radio station. So let's go to the Lord in prayer once again this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for this opportunity to come and to share your word. Lord, we thank you for being a long-suffering, loving, merciful God, but also a just God. And we thank you today that, Lord, that we can take this opportunity to minister to those, Lord, that may be sick and not able to make it to their church today. We pray for them. We pray for their restored health, Lord, that they soon can be back in that assembly of their fellow brothers and sisters. We pray for those that may be traveling today for whatever reason, maybe on vacation or having to go somewhere. So, Lord, I just pray that you will just give them traveling graces to and from. And, Lord, we just pray that you'll bless our time together. I pray for a great anointing upon the reading of your word today and upon me. I ask you, Lord, to remove anything that hinders me from preaching your word. Remove anything that stands between me and you this morning. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me of my sins, because, Lord, I know I am such a sinner. So, Lord, we're going to lift Jesus up. We're going to remove self out of the way, and we're going to ask you to bind Satan, that, Lord, that this word would not return unto you void, as we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning as we look at what's going on around us, and I get so frustrated with so many people in the church so many times that I know need to make decisions. So many people that I know that are right on that brink of making decisions. And I just wondered, you know, what's holding you back? This morning we want to think about it is time. It is time. Brothers and sisters, time is running out. We don't have time to just put off. We don't have time to just say, well, I'm not going to do it. Now is the time, now is the day that we need to be listening to what God has to say to us. Well, we find over in Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read verses 20 through 33 this morning as he talks about that wisdom is crying out in the streets, but nobody's listening. Nobody's listening, it seems like. Nobody it believes that now it is time to listen, or it is time to get right. Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll begin verse 20 as we think about it is time. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse and the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But you have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproach. I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they have hated knowledge, and did not choose to fear the Lord. They covet none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You know, as we read what the Proverbs is writing here to us about using wisdom. Talking about wisdom, we could also replace that wisdom with the Lord. That the Lord is being called out. That the Lord is sharing. He's using this word wisdom. This is God speaking. And yet it says what? Even though I'm crying out, even though I go to the chief concourses, even though I go to the opening of the gates, I go everywhere in the city, but what? He says, but yet they won't listen. They won't listen. You know, we have the word of God proclaimed in more ways today than ever can imagine on the face of the earth. I mean, you got Facebook, you got YouTube, you got text messages, you got TV, you got, you know, radio, all these things, plus less, you know, our services that we have. You can get the Bible on CD. You can get it on a flash drive. You know, we have the Word of God. We have God crying out unto men. But look what it says, though. But how long, you simple ones, will you love your simplicity? In other words, you're naive. You act like you don't care about what God has to say. Those that are scorning, they delight in their scorn. Those that are fool, they hate knowledge. They don't want to know any better. He says, how long are you going to stay like that? How long are you going to be that way? Turn from your reproof, he says. Turn, and I will pour my spirit out upon you. But yet, he says, I have called, and you refused. I stretched out my hand to you, and what did you do? Nobody regarded it. Nobody regarded it. He says, for that reason, you have set at naught all of my counsel, and none of my reproofs seem to do you any good. You won't listen. You say it's not time. You know, it's not time for that. I'm too busy doing my own thing. Well, look what he says. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. Your destruction is coming. Those that follow after the fools and those that have turned away to the simple way, he says, you're going to be slain because of the naive, simple people who have said, we don't need the Lord, that hate his knowledge and hate his wisdom and hate him and don't want anything to do with him. He says that they're going to call upon me one day, but it's going to be too late. We'll get that in a few minutes. But he said, I've called, but you refuse to listen. You refuse. But if there is one that will hearken unto me, then you will dwell safely. And you shall what? You shall not be afraid, even in these times of evil. So what time is it? It is time, brothers and sisters. It's time for us not to walk around in our simplicity. It's time for us not to be scornful, not to be unbelieving people that don't want to listen and just be foolish in the way that we're acting. Because if we continue going, what did he say? Then we're going to what? We're going to be destroyed. If we allow fools to be in charge, if we allow the simplicity and the simple to take charge. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what you see going on in our nation today, but that's what I see going on. I mean, we got people in charge that ought not be in charge. We got people leading us down the wrong road, and they don't want to hear what God has to say. God has stretched his arm out to the United States of America. He has put his word out upon every street, and yet we refuse to hear what he's saying. We better wake up. It is time. So let's look at what several things that we find in God's word that it talks about. It is time. The first one we're going to see is, it is time to seek the Lord. If there was a time we need to be looking for him, it's now. It is time for people to be saved. It's time to be saved. It's time, number three, to wake up. We as Christian people have got to wake up. It's time to believe, really believe and trust in him. And then it's time to be a witness, to be witnessing for the Lord. So let's go back and look at these five things this morning as we think about now's the time. We can't keep putting it off. God is reaching down. God is calling upon us, and it's time for us to turn from those wicked ways. So let's look at the first thing that I said. I said it's time for us to seek the Lord. You know, people doesn't seem to want to seek the Lord. We talk about every time that I get together with any of my pastor friends and everything, everybody's talking about how people just don't care about coming to church. They're not committed to church. They're not looking for the Lord. You try to witness to somebody on the street or something like that, some of them will tell you, I don't want to hear that right now. I don't have time for this. I don't want to listen to it. You know, we like King Agrippa. We almost got there. We like Felix. Now's not a convenient time for us to hear about Jesus right now. I'm too busy. It's just not time to seek the Lord. We're too busy seeking out all these other things in the world. We're too busy seeking out the pleasures of this world. We're too busy seeking out that almighty dollar. We're too busy seeking out our own fame and fortune that we're not looking. We're not seeking for the Lord. We're not looking for Him. He says in verse 28, listen to what it says. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. For they hated my knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They didn't choose. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to seek Him. But when it comes to that time of calamity, guess what? Isn't it amazing how people all of a sudden become very religious and very Christian? They want the Lord. You let something happen bad in their lives, and man, they want it. But when everything's going good, they're not worried about God. They're not worried about Him. But it's time. I don't know how much worse the world's got to get. I don't know how much worse the things got to happen. What are we going to do? What else has God got to do? I mean, we have come through some horrific things in the last 2 or 3 years in our nation. What will it take to make people seek the Lord? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon His while He is near." This is what he's talking about here. You're going to call upon Him, but what? It's going to be too late. Now's the time to call upon the Lord. Now's the time while He is near. Now's the time to call upon the Lord while we have opportunity to repent and to turn from our wicked ways. As we talked about last week, if we get on that bad side of God, then He's going to destroy us. What did He say? That calamity's coming. He's just going to laugh at it. He's going to say, "I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't seek me. You wouldn't look unto me. You wouldn't call upon me while I was near." You think about in the days of Noah. The Bible says that's how it's going to be before Jesus comes again. It's going to be like it was in the day of Noah. That people are not going to believe. As Noah was building that ark and that 100 years or so that it took him to build it, and he was preaching to the people, "There's a great flood coming." Well, they just looked at him like he was crazy. Talked at him like he was crazy. But brothers and sisters, guess what? There came a flood. And when it got about neck deep, and then they got treading water, and they got the dog paddling around the ark, they got to knocking on the ark and saying, "Open the door and let us in." But listen to me, God shut that door. And Noah couldn't open if he'd wanted to because God shut the door. He gave the people over 100 years opportunity. He was long-suffering with them while Noah building that ark to get right, and they would not listen. They continued in their simplicity. They continued in their foolishness. They continued in their mocking of God and of Noah. And brothers and sisters, guess what? When they called upon the Lord, it was too late. It was too late. It is time today to start seeking the Lord. It's time today to call out unto Him because He's never been nearer now than ever before. We need to be calling out unto Him. Well, let's look at the second thing. Now's the time. It's time to be saved. It's time for people to come and to know the Lord. I wonder sometimes, what are people waiting on? I mean, it's not like we're asking them to do something crazy. It's not like we're asking them to give up anything. You know, I've had people tell me that a lot of times. "Well, I'd have to give up too much to become a Christian, so I'm going to wait till my deathbed." You know, a lot of people are not going to make it to the deathbed, right? You just can't choose that time. You can't just choose a time. You can't wait till that calamity has come upon you. You can't wait till that water's above your neck and then start calling unto the Lord. I mean, that water's up to our knees now, brothers and sisters. We ought to see it. Destruction is coming. Today is the day for salvation. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. "For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, to now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And notice, In that one verse, what did he use? That word, "behold." Now, when he uses the word "behold," what is he trying to say? He's saying, this is so important. You better listen. This is so important. You better pay attention to this. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time for salvation. We can't put it off. Why are you putting it off? Why are you putting off salvation? You're not giving up anything. You're gaining everything. You know, why are you trying to hold on to something that's going to melt away? This old fleshly life, this old fleshly things, these old material things. Why are you so scared of turning loose of those things? Look, you can't hold them anyway. I mean, one good tornado, have we not seen that? And you won't have nothing. One car accident, and that new car can be gone. You know, all that pleasure that you have, one accident, one broke leg, one thing, and then it's gone. You know, all that money you're trying to make, one breakdown of our economic structure. And listen, the way we're going, it ain't going to be long. It's not going to be long. So what are you waiting on? Why do you not want to accept Jesus? I can't understand that. Why do you want to continue in that sinful life? Why do you want to continue down that wrong road? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time for our salvation. Today is that accepted day, not some other day. Why do you keep putting it off? You know, well, you know, maybe I'm not old enough. Well, if God speaks to your heart and tells you you need to be saved, you old enough. You old enough. Well, I'm going to get my life cleaned up. Listen to me. You can't clean your life up. You can. Only Jesus can. Because he's the only one that can make you a new creature. And that's what the Bible says. Behold, when we're in Christ, we become a new creature. So what are you waiting on? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Don't take the chance that you might get another day. Because you might not get another day. He said to the rich fool who barns were so full, and he says, I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to put up everything, and I'm just going to sit back and eat and drink and be merry. Won't have a care in the world. And what did he say? You're fool, because your soul is going to be required of you tonight. If your soul was required of you tonight, and you've been putting off being saved because you're too busy filling your barns up with these worldly things, then brother and sister, where are you going to be? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is it. Well, let's look at the third thing. The third thing that we see that he says, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to hear what the wisdom has to say. It's time to pay attention to what he's calling out and what he's saying. It's time to wake up from our sleep. You know, I'm afraid that the church has been asleep for years. I'm afraid we as Christian people have been asleep. Now, I want you to understand, I keep saying this and I say it time and time again. I'm not talking about get woke. I'm talking about getting woken up. I'm not talking about this new woke movement to where we are turning completely away from God. And we're talking about, oh, they got woke. No, we need to wake up as Christian people. We need to wake up and turn from our wicked ways. We need to wake up as a lost world and get saved. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 11 through verse 14. He says, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our time of salvation nearer than when we believe. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Cast off all these works of darkness. Put on the armor of light, walking honestly as in the day, not in riotness and in drunkenness and in chambering and in wantonness and strife and in envying. He says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no what? Provisions for the flesh and the lust thereof. So did you hear what he says? He says, it's high time to wake up. It's high time to put off all these works of darkness. He says, cast off these works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So listen to me. He's telling us, Christian people, he's telling us that it is time for us to wake up and make sure that we're living the righteous life like we're supposed to do. It's time that we put off that old things of the flesh. And he named drunkenness, he righteous living, chambering, wantonness, strife. Think about those things that he's saying. He says we need to be walking honestly. If there ever was a time that the world needs to see honest Christian people walking in the ways of the Lord, brother and sister, it's today. We need to be living the lives. And he says, what are we waiting on? Put off. It is high time to wake up. It's high time to put off these sinful things. And it seems as if, as I look around our church and I look at what's going on in our churches around and what's going on with Christian people, it seems like we're piling more evil on and more sinful things on than we are putting them off. I mean, we can't just keep living sinful lives and expect the world to change what we want. We need to check our salvation. Have we been saved? He says, cast off all these works of darkness and put on what? The armor of light. Now, we know that armor of light is described for us over in what? Ephesians chapter 6. When you put on that helmet of salvation, you put on that breastplate of righteousness, you gird your loins with truth, you shod your feet with the gospel, you take the shield of faith, and you hold forth that sword, the word of God. He says, we got to dress up in that armor of light. Jesus says we are to be the light of the world. We are to be the salt of the earth. Well, we can't do it if we're asleep and just slumbering in our sinful nature and our sinful ways as the world is. We got to wake up as a church. We got to wake up as Christian people. We got to be different from the world. We got to put off all these things. And I love what he says there at the end. He says, what? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provisions for the flesh and the lust thereof. So he says, we've got to put on Jesus. Think about that just a minute. We got to put on Jesus. It's time to wake up and put on Jesus. You know, the Bible says if we're going to come and follow Jesus, then we got to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. We've got to turn from those wicked ways. We got to put on Jesus. And I love that, to think about getting up and putting Jesus on. See, Jesus lives within me. What did Paul say? I have been crucified with Christ, and yet though I live, but I don't live, but what? Christ lives in me. It is high time that we as Christian people live as people that have put on Jesus. If you put on Jesus, then they ought to be able to see him in your life, right? There are no closet Christians. There are no hidden Christians. Brothers and sisters, when you put on something, you put it on the outside and people can see it. They can see it. When we put on Jesus, people ought to be able to see Jesus in our lives. And we as a church have got to wake up. We've got to turn from those wicked ways. We've got to turn and we got to live those lives, because people's not listening. God's stretching out his arm and people are not paying it any mind. God is trying to reach them, but they're not paying any mind. They're not listening to his word, not responding to him in any way. We have less and less baptism, it seems like, year after year throughout our denomination, because people are not listening. They're not listening. It's time to wake up. Well, let's look at the fourth thing. It's time to believe. It's time to believe. Now, I know we've talked about seeking him. We've talked about being saved. We've talked about salvation and then how that we are to wake up as Christian people. But what about it's time to believe? Why would I say that? Why should I say it's time to believe? Because see, a lot of us as Christian people, we live lives as if we really don't believe. I mean, if we really believe what we say we believe in Jesus, then brothers and sisters, it will make a difference in our lives. It will make a difference into those people that we're witnessing to and those people that we're trying to share Jesus with. They will see a difference in us if we really believe what we say that we believe. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 13, he says this. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any in you departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of ye be what? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So did you hear that? Take heed, my brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, not what? Not believing. It's because of unbelief. That's what hardens our heart. And he says we need to exhort every one of us daily. Every day, let us call out every day, Let us tell people, don't get your heart hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't allow unbelief to harden your heart. Don't allow unbelief to cause you to depart from the living God. You know, we just celebrated Easter just a couple weeks ago, and it was a wonderful celebration, wasn't it? As we celebrated how that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Do you really believe that? I mean, do you really believe it? Well, if you really believe it, then why is your heart filled with unbelief? Why is it hardened with unbelief? If we really believe that God is alive, that he is well, that Jesus is alive and well, then why are we not putting him on? Why are we not accepting his salvation? Why are we not seeking him while he should be found? We act as if we don't believe he's alive. We act as if we don't believe we can be found. We act as if we don't believe people can change in their lives. They can put off those works of darkness. They can go from that sinful way to that life of holiness that God calls us to. You know, do we really believe it? It all boils down to what we really believe in, right? If we really believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell, then we're going to be busy about witness, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But if we really believe there is a place called heaven that we're going to, then why in the world are we working so hard to gather up stuff down here? I mean, I'm not telling you not to live a good life. I'm not telling you not to own anything. That's not what I'm saying. But when it comes first, we need to wake up. We need to see, are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Do we really believe that he said, if you will seek me first, then all these other things will be added unto you? Do we believe that? Do we believe it? I mean, we've got to understand and know that, yes, what God has said is true. He says, I have called out unto you. I've tried to reprove you. I've tried to stretch my arm out to you. But you have set at naught all my counsel. You didn't want any of my reproof. In other words, you really didn't believe what I was telling you. You really didn't believe it. You were scornful. You were a fool. You were simple in your mind. And you wouldn't believe it. He says, it is high time. It is the day that we need what daily, while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, let's look at the last thing. The last thing is time to what? To witness. It's a time to witness. Today is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Wake up. Time, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Today is the day to exhort one another, lest any of us be hardened through unbelief. So if there ever was a time that we should witness, it should be now, right? Now should be the day. Now should be the time that we should be that witness to this lost and dying world. Listen to what he said in John chapter 4, verse 35. He says, say not that there is yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look you on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, when you look at all the other gospels account of this, you know, it's talking about, you know, pray ye the Lord for the labor of the harvest. Pray that he'll send for more laborers, because the harvest is white and the harvest is past, and it's time now to go and to be a witness and to bring in the harvest. But we see John, I love what John says. He, you know, the others don't add this, but John says this. He says, don't say in your heart, we got 4 more months. Don't say in your heart, well, we got 4 more months before we have to worry about harvesting. Don't say in your heart, well, we got a little more time. So that's what everybody thinks. Everybody thinks we got plenty of time. Well, it's been 2,000 years. Jesus didn't come yet. But let me tell you something. Jesus is coming. And not only that, read your paper. How many people's in that obituary? And they don't have to be old. They don't have to be sick. There's a lot of people leaving this world every day without Jesus. The harvest is truly plentiful. It is truly white. That means it is past time. When it gets white, it is past time. Therefore, he says, don't say in your heart, we got 4 more months. Don't say in your heart, I asked a while ago, why are you waiting? Why are you putting off being saved? People think they got plenty of time. You know, especially young people. You think you're bulletproof. You think, oh, I got all the time. I'm gonna sow my wild oats, and then I'll get saved. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. There's nothing in the Bible that says you got to sow your wild oats. Give your heart to Jesus today. Give your heart to Jesus now. Today is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord today while he may be found. Believe in him today. Wake up, Christian people. Put on that armor of light today. Why it is day? Because the night is far spent. Be a witness today. Don't say we got another 4 months. Don't say we got another year and maybe we'll get them saved next year or maybe next revival I'll make a decision for the Lord or next Sunday. Next Sunday may not ever come. Next revival may not ever come. Tomorrow may not come. Today could be our last day. And that's the reason he said it's time today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day, Christian people, to get your life right with Jesus and put on Jesus like you're supposed to. Today is the day to witness and tell somebody about what Jesus can do for them. What about you this morning? Are you putting it off? Why? Why are you putting it off? What else is God going to have to do? What else has got to happen? What will it take to get you to wake up? Don't be the scornful who keep scorning. Don't be the foolish who continue in their foolishness. Don't be the simple-minded who continue in their simplicity, their naiveness. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. Are you going to be ready? Today is your day of salvation. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. And Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation for some lost soul. I pray today is the day for some Christian people, Lord, to put off the works of darkness and to put on Jesus. I pray that today is the day that we will look into the field, that we will open our eyes and see. We don't have 4 months. We don't have another year. Today is the day. And let today be the day for somebody listening to us this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the provisions you make for us, Lord. Thank you for stretching out your hand to us. Thank you for sending us your wisdom to reprove us, to bring us to you. Help us not to just turn it away today, but to accept you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen.